Welcome to God at Work, Stories of Grace and Faith. I'm your host, Chuck Groover. And this week, I originally was going to talk about the hymn, Come Thou Fount. But most of what I found on the song was basically mentioned while I was talking about Robert Robinson in the last episode. So and to an extent, probably some of these hymns will, and hymn writers will probably be the same. I'm not sure about this next grouping I'm going to do. For right now, I just decided to move on with the next hymn writer I had planned and on my list, and that is to talk about John Newton. We basically best know John Newton, if not by name, as the author of Amazing Grace. He was an Anglican clergyman and abolitionist who actually started his career as a sailor at a young age, which the story behind Amazing Grace is revolves pretty much around his sailing career and less around his Anglican, his career as a clergyman. But Newton was born in Wapping, London in 1725 on either July 24th or August 4th. Again, it's like a couple of episodes ago when talking about one of the other writers, it's that old system, new system calendar dating convention, depending on which one you go by. I believe it's the July 24th was the old dating system. August 4th would have been the new dating system that they were using. He was the son of John Newton Sr., who was a shipmaster in the Mediterranean service. And Elizabeth Scatliffe, who was basically the only daughter of an instrument maker from London. His mother died while Newton was at a young age of tuberculosis, or what was commonly known at that time, consumption, in July of 1732. Basically, pretty much about 2 weeks before John's birthday. The young Newton then spent 2 years at a boarding school, with his basically his dad being on a ship, before actually going to live in Avonlea in Essex, which is where his father's new wife and his stepmother lived. At the age of 11, young Newton went on the first of basically six sea voyages with his father before the older Newton's retirement in 1742. John Newton Sr. had plans for John to work at a sugarcane plantation in Jamaica, but young Newton, being rebellious, signed on with a merchant sailing ship in the Mediterranean. And it was then, when going to visit some friends in 1743, Newton found himself actually captured and pressed into service with the Royal Navy, where he became a midshipman. But at one point, he tried to desert the ship and was actually punished by being basically stripped, taken in front of the crew of 350, stripped down to basically his pants, tied up, and then received 8 dozen lashes as a punishment, and was demoted to common seaman. After this episode, Newton became depressed and actually contemplated murdering the captain, and then committing suicide by jumping overboard. He eventually recovered both physically and mentally from this episode, and was transferred to a slave ship bound for West Africa. Unfortunate thing is he did not really get along with the crew of this ship, and in 1745 he was left in West Africa with a slave dealer by the name of Amos Clow, who basically gave him as a slave to his wife, Princess P of the Sherbo people. And it was there he was actually, as a slave, he was pretty much mistreated and abused, much like she would treat her other slaves. Eventually, a sea captain rescued young Newton in 1748. And this was pretty much after the sea captain, I'm not sure if it was just this specific sea captain or if Newton's father asked just about every sea captain he knew to search for Newton in their travels, but eventually he was rescued and returned to England. And it was on this voyage back to England when Newton actually experienced his spiritual conversion. When the ship encountered basically a severe storm and almost sank. It was after this he actually started reading the Bible as well as other religious literature, and by the time the ship had reached Britain, he had accepted the doctrines of evangelical Christianity on basically March 10th, 1748. Although, which is an anniversary, I guess, was mentioned that he would always remember, but then he would also later state that his true conversion, in his opinion, didn't really happen until sometime later. I think it probably had some to do with some of his career choices as between then and when he considered his true conversion. Because after this initial conversion, he avoided like things like profanity, gambling, and drinking, although he continued to work in the slave trade. In fact, when he returned to... Although his experience in West Africa did... He did gain some sympathy for the slaves that he would be transporting. But basically upon returning to England, he basically continued on in the slave trade, gained a position on a ship as first mate due to the influence of his father's friend, Joseph Manistee. And then starting in 1750, he eventually made three voyages, actually as the captain, before he actually gave up on seafaring and this actively participating in slave trading activities due to a stroke in 1754. Although he still continued basically to invest in Manistee's slaving operations after that. Also during that time, he married his childhood sweetheart, Mary Catlett, and also adopted two of his orphaned nieces, basically from his wife's side of the family. Then in 1755, Newton was appointed as the tax collector for the port of Liverpool, which was where he was living, where he was basically, as a ship captain, was being shipped, where his ships were leaving from. And in his spare time, he was also he studied, basically preparing himself for serious religious study. He was learning, like, Hebrew and Greek. Basically, also at this time was becoming well known as an evangelical lay minister. And 2 years later, in 1757, he applied to be ordained as a priest in the Church of England. But it was more than 7 years later before his application was actually accepted. He basically tried doing all sorts of networking and petitioning to get this application through. Also during this time, he approached the Methodists, the Independents, the Presbyterians, basically the Nonconformists. And then on April 29th of 1764, Newton actually, through the Church of England, received deacon's orders to Olney in Buckinghamshire, and later on that year, on June 17th, was ordained as priest. He served there in Olney for 16 years, where basically his preaching was so popular at the church he was at, they actually added a gallery to the building to accommodate all those who would actually come to hear him. And then in 1772, basically, it was when Thomas Scott took up the curacy in some of the neighboring parishes. Newton was actually influential in converting Scott from being a career priest, basically someone who was just looking at priesthood as a job. And evidently, Scott didn't really have any Christian convictions. He was actually just looking at being a priest as a source of income. Newton is contributed with actually converting him to Scott to becoming a true believer, and Scott eventually became a biblical commentator and is known as one of the co-founders of the Church Missionary Society. Then in 1779, Newton was invited to become the rector of St. Mary Woolnoth in London, which is basically where he served until his death. At this time, he was actually one of only two evangelical Anglican priests serving there in London. Newton was a strong supporter of evangelicalism within the Church of England, as well as considered being friends with both dissenters or nonconformists, basically the Methodists, Baptists, Independents, Presbyterians, those who weren't part of the Church of England, and the Anglicans. He was also well known for his pastoral care just as much as he was for his beliefs, to where young churchmen and just pretty much anyone struggling with faith would actually seek him out for advice. One such person was William Wilberforce, which we'll get to in a little bit, because 34 years after retiring from the slave trade, Newton pretty much broke his long silence on the subject of slavery in 1788 by writing a pamphlet where he described the horrific conditions that were noticed on these slave ships, and he actually became an ally with William Wilberforce, who was a strong advocate for abolition, basically getting rid of slavery within the British Parliament. In fact, Wilberforce was a leader of the parliamentary campaign to abolish the African slave trade there in England. Newton pretty much lived to see these efforts to abolish the African slave trade in England come to fruition with the British passage of the Slave Trade Act in 1807, which ended the African slave trade. In 1790, Newton's wife passed, after which he published what became known as Letters to a Wife, where he basically expressed his grief. And then on December 21st of 1807, after being plagued by ill health and failing eyesight, Newton passed away. He was buried beside his wife in St. Mary Woolnoth, and both were later reinterred at the Church of St. Peter and Paul in Olney in the year of 1893. Finally, last thing on the life of Newton. In 1982, John Newton was actually inducted into the Gospel Music Hall of Fame when the Gospel Music Association recognized him for his influential hymns, which next episode I'll talk about Amazing Grace a little bit more, although from what I'm finding, it's pretty much I have a little bit more information than I was able to dig up on Come Thou Fount for Robinson, but it will probably be a short episode. But again, this is Chuck Groover. That was the life of John Newton, a slave trader, abolitionist, priest, and hymn writer. And that's God at Work.